I'm Deborah Becker, in for Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Coming up, the fallout continues over Massey Energy's April explosion at its Upper Big Branch mine in West Virginia. That explosion killed 29 miners and a journalist. Appears to have caused the fallout. But first, we're going to go to politics. Many Democrats may not like it, but President Obama is predicting that his controversial tax cut deal with Republicans will pass. The president has compared the Republicans that he made the deal with to hostage takers for their insistence that even the wealthiest Americans receive an extension of the Bush-era tax cuts. And he also called some Democrats purists for objecting to the deal. Ahead of a test vote on Monday, lawmakers added some sweeteners, such as an extension of ethanol and alternate energy subsidies. But already, the estimated price tag of the $858 billion over the next 10 years is greater than last year's stimulus package. And most everything else in Congress, such as Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the DREAM Act, seem to be on hold. Joining us to take stock of the week in politics is Rick Klein. He's senior Washington editor for ABC World News, and he's host of the ABC News political webcast Top Line. And Rick, what do you make of the events of this week?
Well, it's a classic tale of just trying to throw everything in at the last couple of weeks of the congressional session, all this work that's left out there. And it's exposed a major rift inside the Democratic Party. We saw President Obama moving against his fellow Democrats and cutting this deal with Republicans. It's rubbed a lot of them the wrong way. But the simple fact of the math is that the Democrats just aren't as relevant as they might be in another circumstance.
So let's first talk about the tax deal. How much do you think it's going to change before it passes? And why aren't we hearing more objections to the huge price?
Very little, I think. This deal is basically the deal. There are some adjustments around the edges, maybe some additional sweeteners that can be thrown in there to cater to some of the Democrats who are objecting. But this is essentially what it's going to be. And what's interesting is, this adds many, many hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit. But we haven't heard that right now because one thing that Republicans like even less than deficits are tax increases.
Now, let's talk about the major rift within the Democratic Party and whether Obama can survive that.
Well, I think President Obama is really trying to rise above the rift inside the Democratic Party. You're seeing him, and I think at the press conference earlier this week was a classic example of this, of him trying to appeal to the political center, trying to appeal to the independents who vaulted him to office at the expense, in this case, of his fellow Democrats. He's upsetting a lot of them with the positions that he's taking. So I think it's not a question so much of political survival, I think, but as of reinvention. And I think the way that he is repositioning himself right now as larger than the Democratic Party is fascinating to watch.
You know, there have been analysts who've been saying no other president has angered his base in this way. And, you know, has he alienated almost everyone? Doesn't like the tax cut deal, doesn't like the Democrats who criticize it, doesn't like the Republicans that he negotiated with. And he's meeting with former President Bill Clinton today. Do you think that this is going to be part of the topic of how he repositions himself amid really standing alone as an island here, it seems?
Triangulation 101 from the guy who knows it better than anyone else, I've got to imagine, is part of the discussion there. President Clinton was faced with a roughly similar circumstance where he lost control of Congress midway through his first term. He had to make mid-course adjustments. He upset a lot of liberals and a lot of his base along the way. President Obama knows that that's the path toward re-election in 2012 and toward policy success. In the meantime, he has to reinvent himself. And I think that the broad calculation is that it is not as important to him to please the base as it is to build off of the possibilities that he had in the first electoral coalition that he built, and to say, look, I'm an independent, I am bigger than politics. That's what made President Obama into the force that he was originally, not the love of the Democratic Party.
Do you think it helps or hurts the president's case at all that the New York Times is saying that the administration is going to hold off on tough new EPA emissions rules for now?
Probably helps. I think those are the kind of signals that Republicans are pleased to see. They see things like that and they think, well, maybe he got the message.
Couldn't backfire and have folks say, but he's too weak to get anything done.
No question. And I think every time you have inaction, I think the same thing with taxes, that it does look like weakness when you have the president give in on all of these critical areas. He has caved, and a lot of Democrats aren't happy with that. It does speak to leadership, and it does hurt his ability to do other things. But it's all about trying to cobble together those votes and just reinvent the presidency after a big setback like we had last month.
Let's talk about some other notable congressional items. Are they likely to pass before Congress adjourns? Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the military's ban on openly gay service members, and the DREAM Act, which allows green cards for young immigrants.
The DREAM Act is not going to pass in all likelihood. The difficulty there is immigration is such a polarizing issue. Even if you had all the time in the world, to take it up, which Congress doesn't right now, I don't think it would happen. But I think Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be more interesting. They have the votes to repeal this policy. They may not have the time to do it in. They only have about 2 weeks left, potentially before Christmas. And do they want to consume all of that time debating this policy, even though they have the votes? It's just one of those examples where that may not be enough. And it's so difficult to make things happen ever in Congress, and particularly when you're staring down the barrel of a recess that means the end of the Congress.
Despite the fact that it looks like the tax cut vote's going to go through.
That's right. Despite the fact of the tax cut, there's just so many other things that they need to get done. There's so little time left on the schedule to get it done.
All right. Rick Klein, senior Washington editor for ABC World News and host of the ABC News political webcast, Top Line. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you.